When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Say Why to Drugs with me, Susie Gage. And in this episode, Scroobius Pip and I are chatting about salvia. Salvia is a psychedelic drug, but chemically it's pretty different from LSD, psilocybin and DMT, and it's not really clear how or why it has the psychedelic effects that it does. Salvia has been used in Mexico for hundreds of years as a tool to facilitate sort of shamanic experiences and spiritual encounters, but also as a herbal remedy. While there are lots of case studies and scientific descriptions of salvia, there's surprisingly little good quality evidence around its effects, both in terms of intoxication and the potential it might have for long-term risks and things like that. While researching this episode, I found papers suggesting it was both a cognitive enhancer and that frequent use will negatively affect cognition. So if any listeners have expertise on salvia and think Pip and I have overlooked anything important in this episode, please do get in touch and we'll do an update. But without further ado, here's Pip and I saying why to salvia. Okay, so let's talk about salvia.
Yes.
Now, salvia is it's a plant, Salvia divinorum, which sounds a bit Harry Potter.
Yeah, it does. It does sound wonderfully Harry Potter.
It's related to the sage plant, so sometimes it's called sort of sage or stuff on the street. Mm-hmm. And the compound that's thought to be important in it is salvinorin A, and this is thought to give you the psychoactive effects. So it's a dissociative hallucinogen.
Right.
It's very unusual in that it doesn't seem to operate like other hallucinogens like LSD or psilocybin, or like other sort of dissociative drugs like ketamine. Mm-hmm. Scientists aren't really sure how it operates. There's some theory that it might affect opioid receptors, so like drugs like heroin do.
Right.
But no one's really sure why it has the effects that it does.
Yeah.
So it's a funny one. And you can consume it in a number of ways. So you can chew fresh leaves or dried leaves. Dried leaves, you could smoke them. But it's quite difficult to get much of an intoxication effect from smoking dried leaves. So what tends to happen is they're sold with extra strength added. So they're added concentrations, so
right,
you can get kind of 5 times strength, 20 times strength, that kind of thing. So, and these ones, you sort of need to inhale one sort of lungful and the effect's pretty instantaneous.
Wow.
Do you know much about salvia?
No, it's an interesting one. It's one that I'm not familiar with. And when you put it on the list, I was intrigued. Again, it's got similar effects to a lot of the different drugs that I've tried in my youth. I'm pretty sure, because I remember the last time we had one that I was like, I'm not that familiar with this. I've not tried it before. Halfway through, you used a name I was familiar with. I was like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that one. But again, I don't think that's the case with this. It's one that is intriguing because it seems to be a combination of a lot of the popular drugs, I guess, with the the dissociative element and the psychedelic element.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have known a few people who've used salvia, and
that what they've said to me about the appeal is that it's sort of like LSD or mushrooms, but it's a much more intense trip, but it's much shorter lasting.
Right.
So the thing with something like mushrooms or LSD is the trips can last for hours.
Yeah.
And that's sort of not so much the case with salvia.
Yeah. I mean, that's often what we've seen on previous ones tends to be an increased risk there. The faster something takes effect, we've previously seen the bigger risk on how your body reacts to it, because there will be that kind of, that you're thrown straight in at the deep end as such. But
yeah.
a shorter cycle is worrying in a way too, actually, because you probably just want to do more and more and more. I was going to say it sounds like a good thing, but knowing recreational drug use is, the tendency would be, right, this is wearing off.
Well, I think hallucinogens tend to be different from sort of other kinds of drugs in that respect.
Yeah,
in
that, sure.
They're not so Moorish in that way that you've just come out of a trip, you don't immediately want to go and have another one necessarily.
Yeah, 100%.
And when we get onto some of the descriptions of the type of hallucinations that you can experience on this, then it'd be interesting to see whether you sort of change your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of appeal, some of the other things were, until the new the psychoactive substances bill, salvia was legal. You could get it from head shops.
Right.
So maybe it had a sort of feel that it was safe because it was legal.
Yeah.
As we've talked about, not necessarily the case.
No.
And it's not really habit forming, so perhaps this is an appeal. Before we sort of get really into this, I should say that this is a difficult one to do because there's actually very little research into salvia. So a lot of this comes from kind of anecdotal reports mm-hmm. and case studies. There's been very little kind of really sort of in-depth research. And perhaps this is because it isn't actually that widely used either.
Yeah.
So the short-term effects, if you smoke it, then the onset is within seconds. So people have been sort of warned about lighting, like people smoke it through bongs quite often. So you've been warned about lighting it with a match because you may be liable to drop the match if you sort of, the intoxication hits you that quickly.
Wow.
You might sort of lose grip on reality potentially. Yeah. So you might lose grip on a match as well.
Yeah.
And so the peak of the intoxication can happen within sort of 5 to 10 minutes, and it can be over within half an hour or so. So
right.
It's pretty sort of short, sharp trip.
Yeah.
If you chew it, what you tend to do is there's no point in swallowing it because your stomach sort of dissolves it. You don't get any digests it, and you don't get the effect. But you hold it in your mouth and kind of absorb it through the lining of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So people sort of hold like a wad of leaves in their mouth for an hour or so. And as with all substances that we've talked about, when you chew rather than sort of smoke, it's a slower onset. So it's sort of around 15 minutes after you start mm-hmm. chewing it. The peak tends to be around 30 minutes in, and then can fade sort of after an hour or so.
Yeah.
And so let's go on to kind of what is the intoxication effect like?
Yeah.
So at a small dose, you can feel sort of odd and giggly. And I guess this is kind of related to similar how you feel when you're on mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
You get that kind of like laughter and just feeling a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then at larger doses, you get this sort of real scrambling of perception. And one of the things that a lot of people report is time alteration.
Right.
So the trip may only last for half an hour, but some people can say it feels like it's lasted for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a common one with hallucinogens in general,
yeah.
Isn't it? It's very much that evening could last for days and days as such. So yeah,
And people who use sort of lots of different psychedelics do tend to report that salvia is more extreme, maybe because the trip is actually quite a lot shorter, that it mm-hmm. relatively feels much longer. And people describe hallucinations so intense that you can forget that you've actually taken a drug.
Wow.
So I don't know how that relates to sort of LSD or mushrooms. Do you think you could have that strong of an effect on them?
Again, I can't imagine it, but I guess my experiences of them have been very much the whole experience is revolving around that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not just a chance moment. It's very much, oh, we're doing this tonight. This is our evening
on
this drug. But yeah, that's an interesting one, because that's where, again, with particularly with stronger doses of LSD I've experienced, a key thing for me has been reminding myself that I've taken a drug. It will last a certain amount of time to keep myself from panicking and having a bad trip and having all these bad reactions. So the idea of not having that knowledge is quite a scary one. I remember, it's going to sound ridiculous, but I once had a barbecue sausage spiked. And again, I'm the most against spiking ever. I think it's a horrible thing. And I think the only reason I managed to get through it more comfortable was because of previous experience with drugs. But it was just spiked with some weed. But again, the eating can often have a different effect. And it made me a bit spaced out. Yeah. And that was, even though it will be far milder than any of my experiences on mushrooms or LSD, it was the most horrible experience I've had of any kind of hallucinating because I wasn't aware, I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere and I was uncomfortable and like, oh, I went home immediately and and felt unpleasant.
Yeah, and I think we did touch on this in the psychedelics episode, that sort of spiking with psychedelics is incredibly dangerous
because hugely.
That is when you can feel like you are losing your mind.
Yeah.
Like, that can trigger genuine sort of mental health problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, as you say, the sort of part of the enjoyable thing about being on a psychedelic is looking forward to being on a psychedelic.
Because you've chosen and you're going, oh, has it kicked in yet? Is it kicking in? Is this, it's that whole journey itself. Whereas out of nowhere, suddenly feeling outside of yourself, essentially, is, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, and I think that's something about salvia that it's not necessarily a pleasant experience.
Right.
Like, people don't do it sort of for enjoyment. People do it for kind of, I didn't even think introspection is the right word. So people say it's sort of different to more classical psychedelics, and possibly this is because it's got this also this dissociative aspect to it as well.
It's interesting. I mean, as soon as you describe the quick onset and the quick offset as such of it, it instantly came to mind as something that people, because again, I've got a lot of friends who will use drugs for inspiration or for writing and things like that.
Yeah.
It instantly jumped out as an example there of, right, if you can have a quick half an hour of this experience, then that would appeal in that situation. But I said, if it's an intense and potentially incredibly unpleasant half an hour to an hour, then that's not...
Yeah, it's sort of less... You feel less kind of involved in the experience than you do when you're on something like LSD or psilocybin.
Yeah.
It's more something that happens to you
rather than
something that you are part of.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the difference in trip between salvia and psilocybin and LSD.
Instead of walking through a nice park, you're being dragged through a nice park, which no matter how nice the park is, you're still being dragged.
Yeah, it can make you forget that you're on a drug. It can make you lose all sense of your mind and body, and perhaps even make you forget who or even what you are.
Yeah.
And people report sort of depersonalization or derealization, which I guess is the same kind of thing. It's sort of, I don't know what I am, I don't know who I am, I don't know what's real.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily pleasurable. It can lead to you sort of moving around. So one thing that's really advised is to have, particularly if you've never done it before, but kind of probably anyway, is to have a sitter with you. Like, it can be a pretty full-on experience, and you need to be somewhere safe. You need to be somewhere where you've sort of not things around that you can harm yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And because there have been cases of accidents where people have sort of damaged themselves because they haven't known sort of where they are or what they are or what they're doing.
Yeah.
People report encounters with other beings. I guess this isn't that dissimilar to other psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling of falling, of floating, of flying. Again, sort of feelings that you might have on other psychedelics. But also sort of slightly more extreme, feeling like you're dying or feeling like you're going permanently mad. Like, I don't know what that would feel like.
Yeah.
Sort of, that's quite an intense description.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's not something everyone experiences, but...
I mean, the disassociation bit's the scariest part, and the bit that makes sense, because something that, as said, can be your your grappling hook or your anchor at points when you're on psychedelics is that awareness that, right, I know I've taken something. I know this, not even necessarily I know that this isn't real, because again, there's different perceptions when going into psychedelics on that, but more I know this has got a time limit. I know it's got its beginning, middle and end. I can kind of sense when I'm at the peak and kind of sense when that's wearing out. Whereas if you've not got that to anchor you, then yeah, that I can see how that can be a far more traumatic trip.
Yeah. But there's no evidence that it's toxic or that it's harmful to the body in any way. Sort of the main thing you're at risk of is sort of having an accident while you're on it.
I'm glad we got to that bit, because up to that I was feeling this was just a great advert for it. It sounded fantastic. I was listening thinking, I mean, well, this sounds great. It's a mixture of all the drugs. It's non-toxic. It's this. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty difficult to overdose physically, but obviously the trip is already really intense. And so the more you take, the more intense that might be. And I think what the difficult thing is that people, if you are sort of feeling these kind of really extreme experiences, like you might be going permanently mad, they do end. But if you've also then time feels like it's lasting much, much longer, then it's, even though you're only in the trip for half an hour, it might feel like an awful lot longer to you. Longer term, it doesn't seem to be habit forming like sort of all the other psychedelics. And I think that's a lot to do with, it's not the kind of, the reason that people become dependent on drugs is because of the sort of pleasurable feeling that they get from doing them. Whereas I don't think people take salvia to have a pleasurable experience. They take it to have a very, very unusual experience that you probably can't get from anything else.
Yeah.
So that kind of becoming addicted to it doesn't really seem to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's been associated with lung irritation, but this could be due to you consume it by smoking it.
Yeah, of course.
And it's associated with headaches. But again, this could be to do with sort of the way that you consume it. I could only find one sort of documented case of psychosis developing after using salvia. And there's potential that there's underlying high risk anyway. So with all sort of psychedelics, if you're at high risk of things like psychosis, then it's really, really something to be avoided, because the sort of the losing control in that kind of way is absolutely going to be a trigger for people who are at sort of higher risk. And again, there's sort of anecdotal reports of longer lasting kind of unpleasant effects. So someone reported sort of having this derealization feeling that lasted for kind of a couple of days after they took it. But again, a couple of days, it must be pretty horrendous, but it comes to an end kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's a tough one with any hallucinogens is gauging what is a physical prolonged effect and just almost a realizational prolonged effect. Again, when we discussed hallucinogens in the past, there were certain things that I realized when tripping or when hallucinating that I then thought about off them and have changed my perception and outlook. Now, that's not the drug continuing on, but again, I can see similarly that if you have a darker or unpleasant realization, the drug may wear off, but if you remember that, you've still potentially experienced something unpleasant that may resonate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we talked about in the psychedelics episode is kind of sort of a switch that might change and sort of change your perspective on things, as you've just described. And I don't know whether that's the case here. Again, it's a difficult episode to do because there is so little research. The people that I know who use salvia do it because they find the experience sort of rewarding, I suppose. They get something out of having a trip on salvia. And possibly it's the short-term effect makes it more of a kind of social thing that, like, it doesn't take up your whole evening. You can sort of do it and then you can do something else afterwards kind of thing. I'm not sure. But yeah, so I think there's some evidence as well that people get flashbacks afterwards, but again, it's sort of, this isn't really scientific evidence, it's anecdotal report, and there's just so little research into salvia that it's pretty difficult to sort of really say with certainty whether these kind of things happen or not.
Yeah.
And again, whether it's sort of something that's just like remembering vividly or something that's sort of uncontrollably forcing its way back into your brain.
Again, it's a tough one because as soon as you've taken any drug and you've been warned of flashbacks, it's easy to associate something as a flashback. And again, I maintain I've never had any flashbacks. I've had points where my vision will go a bit weird or my mind will go a bit weird, but I'm pretty sure I had them before I'd done any drugs. The mind's a strange thing. Yeah. You have these moments and turns and it can be all sorts of different reasons, but it's easy to then go, this is because of what
exactly.
I've done.
You know? And that's sort of illustrating nicely the problem with case control studies.
Yeah.
That where memory isn't that reliable necessarily. And when you've got sort of a stronger pre-existing belief, then you're more likely to sort of associate one thing with another, whereas someone who doesn't have that might not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I've only got one myth about salvia, and that is that some people think salvia is going to be like cannabis because it's sort of a herb.
Right.
Because it's related to sage. And you smoke it, but the intoxication effects, as we've described, pretty different.
Yeah,
so
hugely different.
Don't smoke salvia if you're expecting it to be like cannabis, because you'd be in for a bit of a nasty surprise, or certainly a very, very intense surprise anyway. Yeah. And in terms of anything else, I think I've already talked about the importance of having a sitter, particularly if you've not done it before, that just having someone there who's not intoxicated to kind of keep you safe. This person, they probably shouldn't try and sort of restrain you, because that can be quite frightening if you're having a trip. And this is a kind of case for any psychedelic, really. It's not really specific to salvia.
Situation is key. They've recently I think they've made mushrooms illegal in Amsterdam again, and it was because of someone very sadly jumped off of a bridge. But again, it's kind of it's situation. Or the drug doesn't make you jump off bridges. That's not one of its effects. It's the situation you're in that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Added to it, that could happen from a drunk person or from a very, you know, a depressed or angry. Like there's a lot of things that can make that happen. So yeah, as we've discussed with hallucinogens in the past, a situation is key.
Really
it's
important.
Not really one to just do in a club or on a night out, things like that. It should be a more controlled and safe situation.
It's all about sort of harm reduction, and the more things that you can do to keep yourself safe while you're taking drugs, then the better time that you'll have.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a good place to end that.
Perfect.
And there we are. Now, as I say, I'm always keen to hear from people after these episodes, so I'd love to hear from people who use salvia, just to tell us what's the appeal of salvia for you. And in some other news, as some of you may know, I went to Boston a couple of weeks ago, and I received an amazing honour there. I won the American Association for the Advancement of Science's Early Career Award for Public Engagement with Science. And a large reason that I won this is because of the podcast. So, as I said, it was an incredible honour, and it was also really amazing to hear senior US academics try and say the words Scroobius Pip as they described the podcast. So I got to make an acceptance speech there, but nobody that I thanked was actually there to hear it, so I just wanted to say it again here. So first and foremost, thanks so much to Pip, who has just been insanely supportive and helpful and a brilliant collaborator, network boss, and all round just a total dude, really. Thanks to Jim Murray for doing the music and for the support. Thank you so much to @MyNameIsAd for the amazing artwork. And I don't know whether people watch the podcast on Acast, but Ad makes a different artwork for every single episode, and they're all different colours, and it's really amazing. And so thank you so much, Ad. And also I'd like to thank Charlie Williams for editing the first batch of episodes and really helping me sort of get to grips with that. But most of all, or equally, I want to thank everyone who listens. So thank you for your support, for downloading the episodes, for writing me nice reviews, and just for the amazing community that's built up around these podcasts. It really, really means the world to me, and I'm really, doing my best to make these episodes as good as I can. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks and talking about PCP, but for now, take care. Bye. You've been listening to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. The music was by Jim Murray and the artwork was by At My Name Is At. Say Why to Drugs would not have been possible without the generous support of I'm a Scientist, Get Me Out of Here, the Medical Research Council, and Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.